Christian Medical and Dental Associations hope you enjoy today's chapel message.
How many of you recognize this? You know what this is? A couple of you do. Let's just be honest. How many of you have ever been stopped for not completely coming to a stop? Yeah. Those of you have a ticket for that? Community service, good. One of my favorite stories is I just moved into Wilmore years ago, and I had been at the GO office and had left my wallet on my desk, and I realized I got home and I ran back to the office to get it, and I did the slow and go, and the new chief of police happened to be right there, and he pulled me over, and I have no wallet to identify myself, and I'm trying to explain to him I'm the new president of GO International, and we're a mission organization. I'm trying to do everything I can to throw the book at him, and so finally he goes to his vehicle a little bit and comes back, and he said, "Son, have you ever preached on grace?" And I said, "I will after today." But he got me. I didn't come to a complete stop. And what was ironic about that was I had gotten there a couple days earlier than Cheryl had. And when she came into town with the kids, she also didn't come to a complete stop. And she got pulled over. She didn't try to talk her way out of it. She cried her way out of it. And she just started bawling there. And so he said, "Welcome to Wilmore. Just go, go and get stopped." But our stop signs, he said, we like to honor them and to use them. I got to think about this idea of this stop sign, and I want to talk a little bit about that today because it's a theme that the Lord's been kind of speaking to me about in Scripture. Stop signs are universally recognized. You realize that? You can go almost any place around the world, and you may not speak the language, but you can figure out what that is, right? There's a lot of signs. You're like, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. But this stop sign, you can figure it out because it's universally recognized. It's also frequently displayed. It's frequently displayed. How many of you realize on your way to work this morning, how many of you stopped at a stop sign? More than one. Yeah. More than 10. They're frequent. They're all over the place. You can leave chapel today and go grab some lunch, and you can just go on a stop sign tour right here in Bristol, right? They're everywhere. They're universally recognized, and they're frequently displayed. But they're also designed for our good and for our safety. They're not trying to punish people by putting a stop sign in. It's these intersections and places around communities all across the globe that have places, if there's not a stop sign, there's a greater chance for harm or for injury. These stop signs are used to ensure smooth and safe travel for everyone on the road. And what happens when we ignore these signs? What happens? You ever seen one of these? Have you ever been in an accident where someone ran a red light or ran a stop sign? And oftentimes, this is where accidents happen. Someone's talking, going along the journey. One of these was always mind-boggling to me was in Indiana. It's as flat as can be. And I pastored in the cornfields of Indiana. And it was just, you could just go for miles and miles and miles. And you wouldn't see anything but cornfields. And when the cornfields were cut, they're just low and just straight roads. And you think you could see as far as the eye could see. And yet there were people who died all the time in accidents on those roads. And I just couldn't figure out for the longest time why that was. And many would run a stop sign. They would just get their eyes fixated on a far, far distance. And they would, you know, they wouldn't see the other oncoming traffic and things like that. They were fixated on something. And it took place, and accidents would take place all the time. Stop signs. What about this? Have you ever realized there are stop signs in Scripture? I was thinking about this just a few weeks ago as I was reading the Scripture, and just several of these stop signs came to my mind. There are several scriptures that the Lord has inspired for our writing and for our understanding. And they're universally recognized, right? When you hear this word stop, it's everyone understands what that means. But I really want us to understand today, as we look at some of these stop signs in Scripture, that they are designed for our good. They are not intended to be punishment to us. They're not designed to slow us down to just to the point of irritate us. These are signs in the Scripture that the Lord has given us for our own good and for our own safety. So what I want to do today in our time together in chapel is just to kind of go through and I've pulled some of these stop signs in Scripture, and I want us to kind of look at some of these frequent signs throughout Scripture. There's a lot of them in the Scripture, and if you're interested in these, you can just email me today, and I'll send you this PowerPoint. But what I'd love for us to be able to do is, you know, sometimes there's a stop sign that's just a little harder to stop at, and we struggle with sometimes. And I want us to be thinking about it as we go through these stop signs in Scripture, just ask the Holy Spirit, even right now, would you just show me this one sign, stop sign, that maybe I need to be a little bit more sensitive to, that's put in your word for my protection? What are some of the stop signs in Scripture? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16, therefore change your hearts, stop being stubborn. How many of you know someone who needs this stop sign, right? We all have a tendency to be stubborn at times. The Scripture tells us we need to stop being so stubborn. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3, stop acting so proud and haughty. Don't speak with such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows what you have done, and he will judge your actions. Oftentimes, this idea of pride, haughtiness, has a tendency to settle in. And sometimes I just wonder, have you ever wanted to use the word stop? Like you're just going through something, people just irritate, and you just want to say, stop it, stop. I wonder sometimes if God feels that way. At times where the pride is just, God, the Bible tells us that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. But I just wonder if sometimes he's just saying, stop, stop. You guys are Christians, you're followers of my son Jesus, and we should ooze with humility, not pride and arrogance. Stop it. It's been said when we try to use fear or pride to stop from sinning, we are forgetting that we sin because of either fear or pride. Another scripture, Psalm 37, verse 8, stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. How many of you are quick to get angry, and don't always stop when you're angry? Sometimes we need to stop, take a time out. Sometimes we need to just kind of walk away, kind of take a break in the action, stop being so angry. Proverbs 17, verse 14 says, the beginning of strife is like a releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. How many of you wish you had seen the stop sign before you started being contentious? There was a little bit of anger that was building, and you know, you didn't honor the stop sign. You didn't stop being angry, and you just kept being irritated, and some of them was pushing the wrong button. Does anyone have a set of those buttons that someone can push the wrong button? And all of a sudden, it's a quarrelsome, it gets started all because no one stopped the contention, and then it just began to flow. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13. Stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. The incense of your offerings disgusts me. As for your celebrations of the new moon and of the Sabbath and of the special days for fasting, they are all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. You know, the Bible says that to obey is better than sacrifice, right? God's not, we think we're bringing all these things to God and we brought the right gift and we brought the perfect gift that will make him so happy. And yet there's all these other things, anger and contentions that we've been running through these stop signs, and we just keep running through them thinking, oh, we'll be okay. We made it through that one. We'll go through another one. Stop bringing me these meaningless gifts and bring the things that I really desire. To obey is better than sacrifice and the gifts that we bring. Isaiah 1:16, wash and make yourself clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight and stop doing wrong. You know, most of us don't struggle with recognizing what's right and wrong, I think. It's just that what we know is wrong is just a little harder to stop. It's a little harder to come to a complete stop because sometimes those things bring pleasure or they bring delight in our lives, and we know that the Scripture says that they're wrong, but we struggle with them, and we continue doing what's wrong. We continue going through and running the stop sign rather than just stopping and recognizing what's displeasing to the Lord. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 4, don't be like your ancestors who would not listen or pay attention when the earlier prophets said to them, this is what the Lord of the heavenly armies says, turn from your evil ways and stop all your evil practices. There's so many times throughout the Bible where God had given his children the instructions of what it was like going into the promised land and what they needed to wipe out and what they needed to eliminate, what did they needed to stop doing, and they wouldn't heed the voice of the Lord, and they just kept on the evil practices, and they followed the ways of their heart rather than the ways of God, and it caused all kinds of problems. They just wouldn't listen. And it went from generation to generation to generation because the previous generation didn't stop, the next generation didn't stop, and the future generation didn't stop. You know what? A lot of times we look at where we're at today and we say, man, what a mess. How did we get here? You know what happened? We've run a bunch of stop signs. There have been things in God's word that he's given us, stop signs that we've just ignored. We thought, well, listen, we don't need to. It's almost like the role of the enemy in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say that? Did God? I don't know. I mean, our grandparents' generation, that was wrong back then, but we're a lot more enlightened now, and yet the Word of God is unchanging. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It stands the test of time, but we continue to practice evil rather than stopping this evil practice. And John chapter 2, verse 16 says, then going over to the people who sold doves, he sold them, get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into the marketplace. How many of you would say this is a correct statement? My house shall be called a house of prayer. How many of you say that's right? That's wrong. You realize that? My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. Is what the quote is. That's what Jesus said. They'd turn the house of prayer for all the nations into a marketplace, and we've kind of done the same thing today. He says, stop turning my father's house into this marketplace where things are being sold and it's just a market of ideas and exchange of goods rather than being this house of prayer centered on the nations of the earth. That's what it's become today. John 5, verse 14, but afterwards Jesus found him in the temple and told him, now you're well, so stop sinning or something even worse may happen to you. There are many times where Jesus touched someone, go and sin no more. His message to them was, look, here's a stop sign. Like, I've just intervened in your life. I've just interrupted and disrupted the problem. And here it is, but understand, I've just kind of intervened here, but you need to stop sinning and start going a new way. And that's what repentance is all about, right? True repentance isn't about, okay, God, I got caught in that. I'm just going to ask, I'm sorry for that. And I'm just going to keep on doing it and run the stop sign. No, I'm going to stop and turn around, and we live and intend to lead a new life in Christ. John 6, verse 43, but Jesus replied, stop complaining about what I said. Well, what did he say? Well, he's just talking about when God provided manna in the wilderness for the children of Israel and how God provided. They were giving the credit to Moses, and Jesus corrects them here in John chapter 6. But then he goes on to correct them even farther to say this. He said, here's the truth. I am the bread of life. They didn't like that equation. They didn't like that analogy. So what'd they do? Rather than recognizing the truth, they began to grumble and they began to complain. Just like their ancestors, right? Who'd ran the stop sign. John chapter 7, verse 24. Stop judging men by mere appearance, but instead judge correctly. How many of you have ever made the mistake of making a judgment call on somebody because it appeared to be something that it wasn't? Or in our quick judgmental, we judge the character of an individual. We judge the personality of an individual. Do you have any dear friends now that when you're first judge of appearance, you're like, I don't know. I don't think we're not going to get along so well. But you judged wrongly. How many times we quickly begin to judge. And one of the things that Jesus says here in John chapter 7 is stop judging individuals by mere appearance or outward appearance instead of, as the Lord does, by the heart. John 20, verse 27. And he said to Thomas, put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. I love this line. Stop doubting and believe, right? I'm working on a brand new message right now about faith. As you know, we've been told, if you have enough faith, you believe and you'll receive, right? That's what the scripture says. But what about in Hebrews chapter 11, all those who died and never physically saw what they prayed for or what they believed in? And what Jesus says to Thomas here is, Thomas, you know, you're going around with all these doubts. You stop doubting. Start believing. Romans chapter 14, verse 13 says this, so let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble or fall. Let's think about it. A lot of times we walk around in our Christian circles today and we think, I got the freedom to do that. Don't judge me. I got the freedom. And yet we forget about the context that we're put in as followers of Christ. And sometimes we stop thinking about, okay, I may not think this is a right or wrong issue, and so I can do it. I've got this conscience that allows me to do that, but it causes my brother or sister or a friend or another church member to stumble. We condemn each other by our running stop signs. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you're wise by this world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. Probably one of the greatest areas where we often run the stop signs of life is in this idea of self-deception. We can see the speck in a brother's eye. We can't see the plank in our own eye. We're deceived. We're oftentimes thinking, okay, yeah, this isn't right. Doesn't align with God's will. Doesn't align with God's purposes or his word for my life. But, you know, we're just deceived. The enemy has just made us think, well, you know what? That's a struggle you'll have for the rest of your life. That's a struggle. That's a problem that you have. And everyone else has the same struggle. We just become deceived. Stop deceiving yourselves. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34. Think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. For to your shame, I say that some of you don't know God at all. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. For we are all parts of the same body. Stop telling lies. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Remind everyone about these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless and they ruin those who hear them. How many of you it's almost in the nature that you just can't let someone say something that's not absolutely 100% correct? Does anyone struggle with that? I do sometimes. Like even sometimes we want to correct our spouses, right? They say something, and I've been looking at this realizing that never works out too well, right? Amen? Like, it's never a good idea to correct your spouse, especially in public, right? And most of the time, it's a little bit of pride and arrogance that we have within ourselves because we're thinking to ourselves, well, they didn't say that 100% accurately. I've been asking myself this question. When Cheryl says something that's not 100% accurate, I ask, how important is that? Like that one little detail, is it a major detail? Is it totally change the subject, or is it so insignificant? And the problem is, and I've just been just learning this idea of just saying, let it go, right? I don't need to correct everyone. I don't need to be so arrogant that I have to quibble over a few little minor shades of, well, that's not pink, that's a light pink, right? And we do that. We're like, well, that's not blue. That's an aqua blue. Right? Who cares? It's blue, right? Stop fighting over words. Hebrews 6:1. So let's stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again, and let's go on instead to become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamentals of importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. I think this is a big thing that we oftentimes struggle with at times is we're just keep going over the simple things. Rather than stopping the simple things and moving on to maturity and putting some depth in our spiritual life. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14, with eyes full of adultery, They never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed and accursed broad. They never stop sinning. Never. I wonder what could be said if God was to give an account of our lives. Are we trying to do away and sin no more? Or do we fall into this category of so many today? They just never stop at the stop sign. They may slow a little bit and then go, but they never stop. Listen to these last three warnings for us today. Jeremiah 26, verse 13. But if you stop your sinning and begin to obey the Lord your God, he will change his mind about this disaster that he has announced against you. What do I need to do? I need to start obeying the stop signs that the Bible has given us in his word. Ezekiel 14, verse 6, therefore tell the people of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says, repent and turn away from your idols and stop all of your detestable sins. As this just a moment ago, I talked about this idea of repentance. It's an idea of, okay, you just keep on going. Okay, there's a stop sign there. I'm kind of looking, but I'm just going to keep on going through it anyways. No, we don't just acknowledge sin. We stop that sin. We intend to do the turnaround and stop continuing what we've been doing that's unpleasing to the Lord. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 27, King Nebuchadnezzar, please accept my advice. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past and be merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will continue to prosper. And Ravenhill said this, praying men stop sinning and sinning men stop praying. I thought that was really good. Praying men stop sinning and sinning men stop praying. So here's a question I want to leave you with today. What stop sign in Scripture stands out the most to you this morning? Well, let's just be reasonable. I mean, there's a lot of stop signs in Scripture. They're frequent, right? So here's my challenge to you. Just go do all of them today, right? Let's just stop everything, right? Man, that's overwhelming. But which one of these Scriptures today did the Holy Spirit nudge on your heart and say, call you by name and say, that's the one I want us to really focus on right now? Which have you been ignoring, and which stop sign in the Scripture could potentially cause you the greatest harm or even injury if you continue to ignore? And that's the one I would challenge us to focus on today. That one we've been running and not stopping, and by the grace of God, we have escaped injury. We have escaped harm. We've escaped an accident. But maybe we know, checked in our spirit, that if we continue to do that, someday there's going to be some oncoming vehicle and we're going to get hit and cause us all kind of trouble and harm. Stop. Stop signs in Scripture. I pray these will be an encouragement to you today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word and some of the simplest things in Scripture. These stop signs in Scripture. May your Holy Spirit use these to remind us of your truth, your design, and your desire for us, and that these aren't put in the Scriptures just to kind of be rules and regulations to cause us difficulty, but they are designed for our protection, for our safety, and for our good. Speak to us, I pray, from this chapel, and help us to walk in a deeper and closer relationship with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.